deserve all the glory and all the honor that we can muster up to give to him. Because he has been good to each and every one of us. He woke us this morning in our right mind and clothed us in our right mind. He started on our way. And he gave us the activity of our limbs. And he is good all the time. He is good. Amen, amen, and amen. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our pastor, Pastor Terry Minor, in his absence. We hope that him and all the other brethren that left to go to Traverse City had a glorious time in the Lord these last couple of days. And they come back refreshed and energized to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. To all my minister brethren, to the deacons, and a special thanks to Brother David for helping out this morning with our deacons this morning. And to all the saints of God, we greet you again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be as brief as the Holy Spirit allows, but we want you to leave here with something on your plate or something on your mind. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and gracious God, we beseech you as humbly as we know how. For Lord, we have wrestled and dealt with a subject at hand. And the Holy Spirit has planted within me the thought that you have presented to my heart. Lord, give me the strength and the power and the courage to stand and declare your word. Control this mind and control my stammering tongue, that I might say the things that are pleasing in your eyes, say that you might get the glory. In Jesus' name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. I'd like to draw your attention this morning to the gospel according to John, that sixth chapter. Reading from that 61st verse down to the 66th verse. I'll be reading this from the NIV version of the Bible. If you don't mind, let me go back up to that 60th verse down to the 66th verse, if you don't mind. It says, "Oh, hear it." Many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit giveth life, the flesh counteth for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are filled with the fill of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is what I told you, that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. For them, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer follow him." Before I give you the theme or the subject matter of our subject this morning, our lesson this morning, our sermon this morning, I ask that you take a little walk with me. I'm going to use as an illustration or a metaphor or a symbol sports as my focus point. And most organized sports teams have a principle. Unity is one of their principles. Everybody on the team works in unison. Then they have a program. Everybody got to understand and know the program, so when we go out to play, we operate under the program that's set before. And then they have to have a love for the game. In this thought this morning, I hope that I can present to you this argument or this position, and hopefully you find yourself within this. And with that being said, as a theme and as a point of reference, keeping those two things in mind, unity, program, and a love for the game. Now, a reluctant fan. A reluctant fan. Coming from that 66 verse, and use it as a theme, a reluctant fan. Now, you can be a fan of many things. It doesn't have to be a fan of sports. You can be a fan of a multitude of things. But in that, some people are reluctant to be a fan. In the movie Concussion, that was presented in 2005, a sports thriller, Will Smith played Dr. Benjamin Bennett Omari. Yes, but there were two lines or two phrases or quotes in that movie I'd like to draw to your attention. There was a Dr. Welch. He said, football owns a day of the week, the same day the church used to own, now football owns it. Dr. Omari said, when I was a boy, heaven was here. And then he goes on to say, and America was over there. But now everybody is focused around one thing, but not the right thing. We, for a long time, I came to Michigan in 1973. I ventured here from the South. Baseball was my thing. I was an avid baseball player, and I loved baseball. And I got introduced to the Lions. And for a long time, I was a Lions fan. I really rooted for them along the way. And hopefully this year will be their year. Yes, hopefully this year will be their year. And they finally make it to the goal line or the place that they're trying to get to. Yes, but during that time and during those years, I became a reluctant fan of the Lions. I know I got some enemies in here because of that. I'm sorry. But they disappointed me many times along the way. And because they disappointed me, I became reluctant to praise them or worship them or get behind them. But this morning, my question to you is, what kind of fan are you of Jesus? What kind of fan of you of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I want you to think about this morning. What makes a person a fan or a non-fan? From the sports world, a person that's a fan of the sports has an enthusiasm for the particular athlete, the team, the sport, or whatever it is that they're involved in. They have some enthusiasm to be a part of the team. Yeah. And along that way, when that person that says that he's a lover of the game, there's always a third team, in football, there's 11 players on the field. There's a 12th or a 13th player that can be included, and that's the fans. Yeah. That's the fans. Because the fans help motivate and cause the team to have an aggressive behavior on the field. And that energy that flows from them flows to the field and causes them to want to play their best. Some people go to the game by the stadium, or they might go to a sports bar, or they might watch it at home on television, or they might follow it through the news, or they might follow it through the newspaper or website or even some form of social media. So my question to you is, I want to present to you at least five types of sports fans that you might find in the world. There's one that's called the average fan. He can do with it or without it. If I see the game, I'm happy. If I don't see the game, I'm okay. Then he got one that's called a fanatic. A diehard. He's emotionally connected to the team to the point that he will go out of his way to be a part of the game. He paints his face. He does everything he can to represent the team that he's following. Are you a diehard for God? Are you a fanatic for God this morning? Do people know that you love the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Maybe you're a fair weather fan. Only when his or her team is performing well, hey, I'm on board then. I'm right here. They winning. I'm right with them. But when they lose, I don't know them. Not them folks. So are you a fair weather fan when it comes to God? You only worship him when he blessed you? Or when life is only going the way that you want it to go? But when trials and tribulations come, you give up on the very person that can help you in your situation? Are you a casual fan? Being less interested one way or the other. I'm only interested in God when he blessed me. I'm only interested in church when I can get something out of it. I'm only interested when I can come and ask for a handout and they give it to me. Don't beat me up, please. Or am I a bandwagon fan? One who has shown no past loyalty to the team. I only like God because he's like an ATM to me. I only worship him because I know if I put something in, he'll give me something back. What type of fam am I when it relates to one of the above types of fam? Now, what makes me root for the team that I root for? What makes me root for that team? What do I have invested in them to make me root for them? What have they given back to me to make me root for them? What have they done for me to make me root for them? What have they brought me or given me or put in my possession that makes me root for them? What have God done? How have God done all those things for you? What make you root for him? Most time in the football industry, there's a coach, and there's teammates, and there's the fans. And I want you to, if you follow along with me, we're going to look at this from the coach's perspective, as Jesus being the coach here, and he's trying to influence the team. Jesus, most of the time when they're in the locker room, the coach gives out his speech, and he gives this inspirational speech, and everybody leaves the locker room excited and fired up to go out on the gridiron, to fight the fight. So Jesus, in his dialogue here in the sixth chapter, we're going to back up a little bit and go to the fifth chapter. He says, I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. You believe, but you don't give me honor, you give other people honor. Moses accused you, he's speaking to the Pharisees, but you didn't want to listen to Moses. You didn't even believe anything he said. But you won't even believe what was written in my word. Then when we open up in chapter 6, we see that a couple of things happen. First, he feeds 5,000, and then he walks on water. But in that second verse, he starts off in that sixth chapter. He says, then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed who were diseased. Then those men, when they had seen that Jesus did these things, that he must be a prophet. Nobody else could do what he did. He must be a prophet. But then because of that, they wanted to make him a king. Because of what they saw. But then Jesus, in that conversation, he's dealing with three groups of people: the Gentile, the Jew, and his disciple. Now, he already had the 12 men on his team, and he was trying to recruit or trying to build the fan club up. So he starts off and he says, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, because you ate the loaves of bread. Do not labor for food which perish, but for food which is ever endured for everlasting life. Our Father ate manna in the desert, as it is written, and he gave bread from heaven, and we and they ate. For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven to give the life to the world." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son believes and in him have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Yes. You would think because they heard that, the Gentiles, "I'm on board. I want to be a fan." But no, they didn't. Then the Jews said, "What is he talking about?" They started complaining about him. He said, "I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven. Who does he think he is?" And they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Mary and Joseph, who we know?" And he said, "I come down from heaven." Yeah. What is he talking about? "Most assuredly, I say to you, who believe in me have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate manna in the wilderness and died. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give in my flesh, which I shall give for a life for the world." Now you would think that they would have became famous. But then, of all the groups of people that should have known better, his disciples start complaining. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's where our text picks up at. And on hearing many of his disciples, and this is a hard saying for us to comprehend. Yeah. Now, didn't they just see Jesus walk on water a little while ago? Yeah. And met them on the sea and walking on water? And they saw him feed 5,000, yeah, with two fish and two barley loaves. Yeah. Wouldn't you have been a fan because of that? Yeah. Of all people, they should have been a fan. Yes. They saw it for themselves. Yeah. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, saying, this is too hard for me to deal with. Who can understand such a saying? What is he saying to me? What is he telling me? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this thing, he said to them, "Do I offend you? Did I just offend you with what I said? Why are you offended? It is the Spirit who giveth life. Your flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one comes to me unless he grants him by the Father." Yes, sir. And then we come to our verse of reference. "And from that time on, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more." This reference here was not about the 12 per se, because he already knew the character of the 12 that he had chosen. He knew that one of them was a devil. So it didn't matter about those 12, but he was making a general statement to the group that had came following him for the loaf of the bread and for the meat. Will you too stop following me? My 12, they saying this is a hard saying, but you too? The fans? But then in verse 67 and 68, Peter sets forth a confession of faith. Yes, sir. Listen to what Peter said. You know, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who have the word of eternal life? Nobody but you. So Jesus is saying to them, are you going to be a reluctant fan also? Are we in a state of hypocrisy now because we have become reluctant fans of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we running away from him because we don't want to hear what he got to say? When his word is the life, gives us everlasting life or eternal life? Are we want to void the contact, a contract that he set forth with us? Are we just going to be reluctant just like everybody else? The moral of our text here. Life is made up of many big and small choices. In order to choose the best, we need to have the benefit of Simon Peter that Jesus speaks the words of eternal life. We need to understand that and accept that. That these words are the words that will give you eternal life. As John stated in 14 and 6, Christ reassures his followers that faith in him is faith in God. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Another movie that came out shortly thereafter, Any Given Sunday, came out in 1999. Al Pacino played Tony D'Amato. And I like to quote a couple of lines from this movie. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff that I want to be a fan. You find out life, this game is inches. So as is football. Because in either game of life or football, the margin of error is small. I mean, one half a step too late, a one step too early, and you don't quite make it. One half step too slow, one half step too fast, and you don't catch it. This could mean the difference between eternal life or death, or eternal damnation from God. So will you leave here this morning and not be part of the team? Will you leave this morning and be a reluctant fan of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because he came down to 40 and two generations. And he tabernacled on this earth for 33 and a half years. And one day, he took up an old rugged cross. And he went to a hill called Calvary. And he allowed him to put a crown of thorns on his head. And put a ribbons in his hand and ribbons in his feet. And they pierced him in his side. And everybody thought the game was over for him. And they took him down that cross and they put him in the heart of the earth and he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. He wasn't reluctant to do what his Father sent him to do. He came willingly to give his life for you and I. And he's asking you today, will you be a reluctant fan this morning? Will you deny who he is? Or will you accept it? Will you join the team this morning and become a part of his team? May God bless you.
Let the church say amen. May we all stand at the time the door of the church is open.
Will you be a fan this morning, or will you be reluctant? Reverend Bennett has given us all some food for thought. And I don't know about you, but when I think about Jesus, he's my goat. He's the greatest of all time. He saved me one day. And I don't know if you know it or not, but he's coming back again. He's coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle. Will you be on our team? Will you be part of the team? Don't be a reluctant fan. Give your life to Christ today. Is there one? Why don't you come? As the choir sings, why don't you come? Is there one today? Is there one? God bless you. You may be seated. Let your church say amen. A reluctant fan. We're going to take up an offering now for this preacher. We want to be a blessing to him. We thank him for his diligence and his hard work and his prayer and for the message that he has delivered this morning. All of us could benefit from what Reverend Bennett has shared with us this morning. And because he has blessed us, let us be a blessing to him now. We're going to ask that everyone would stand now and that you would prepare to be a blessing to this preacher. Let everyone stand. As directed by the ushers, we want you to come around and place your offering in the basket.